It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you get to be a student in this school by listening to the program. And you might want to get your Bible and turn to the book of James, because we're beginning a study of a portion of that epistle. And we'll be looking at James chapter 1 and verse 1 with a little introduction, and then go into the explanatory notes beginning in James chapter 1 and verse 19. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. Now let's look at the book of James. James was addressed to the 12 tribes which are of the dispersion. James chapter 1 and verse 1. The dispersion was the Jews that were scattered abroad among other nations. And James addressed the Christians that were among them. Peter addresses his epistle to the same people. He says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect who are sojourners of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Of the James who wrote this epistle, McGarvey says, "The high authority with which he speaks throughout the epistle identifies him either with James the apostle, son of Alphaeus, are with James, who so long presided with the elders of the church in Jerusalem. It was called by Paul the Lord's brother." For it's still an unsettled question whether these two are the same or different persons, but it's generally agreed that if they are different, the latter is the authority of this epistle, or the author of this epistle. He suffered martyrdom in Jerusalem about A.D. 63, and consequently, the epistle must have been written previous to that date. That is, it was written in Palestine, where James resided, is evident from the local allusions. The last lesson shows that this James was prominent in the council in Jerusalem of Acts chapter 15 in settling the question as to whether or not Gentiles should be circumcised. All should read this lesson, and perhaps they'll want to go back and go ahead and read the entire book. But this lesson text is James chapter 1, verses 9 through 27. And so let's read with care the previous verses of chapter 1. So I'm going to turn now to the book of James in my little Bible, my little testament here. As I do, I have studied about who the author of James would be, and I am convinced that this is James, the Lord's brother, a son of Mary and Joseph, the James that did not believe in Jesus before he was crucified, but became a believer after he rose from the dead. And it appears that Christ had made a personal appearance to him, and this James, the Lord's brother, became quite prominent and influential in that Jerusalem church. Now, beginning this epistle in chapter 1 and verse 1, and we'll read the first chapter. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are of the dispersion, greeting. I count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of low degree glory in his high estate, and the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun ariseth with a scorching wind, and withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in all his goings. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man. But each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin. And sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. Be not deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Of his own will he brought us forth, by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his teachers. Now the next verse is James chapter 1 and verse 19, and we'll look at that as we get into the lesson. Let me read James 1:19, and then we'll look at Elam's notes. It says, you know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Okay, let's look at Elam's notes. The way for Christians to be saved. You know this, my beloved brethren. You know what? Well, that which had just been stated about how men are tempted when they sin and the consequences of sin. Also, what was stated about the unchangeable goodness of God in bestowing every good and every perfect gift upon men, and begetting and bringing forth children by his word of truth. But not presuming on the goodness of God and avoiding sin and even temptation, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear means to be teachable and to be ready to receive the word of truth in everything which God teaches. Slow to speak means to make this personal. We are forbidden to say, when tempted, we're tempted of God. Not many heed the following admonition. Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that you shall receive the heavier judgment, James 3 and verse 1. How very many now are forward indeed to teach their own conceits, speculations, and various doctrines. Not many are contented to be learners, humble disciples of Christ, and true worshipers of God, not seeking to be heard for their much speaking, not praying to be seen of men, letting not the left hand know what the right hand does, but letting their light so shine that others may see their good works and glorify their Father in heaven. Many, indeed, are the warnings of God against too much talking. In the multitude of words there wanteth not transgression, but he that refraineth his lips doeth wisely. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. He that spareth his words have knowledge, and he that is of a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Proverbs 17:27. Let your conversation be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer each one. Galatians 4 and verse 6. So be swift to hear, slow to speak, and then slow to wrath. Well, that means not irritable, not provoked, taking no account of evil, not seeking vengeance. Now the next verse, James chapter 1 and verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The reason for practicing the preceding verse is that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It is not the righteousness of God for his servants to become angry, even in heated discussions, and to seek vengeance with clubs or with harsh language or burning words? Heed these texts. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his own spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, James 1:21. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Wherefore? Well, because of the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness should be put away or laid aside as a filthy garment, as clothes may become filthy, and the body unclean, and so may the mind and the soul. The words of the mouth and the meditation of the heart must be acceptable to God. Proverbs 19:14. The pure in heart will see God. All must cleanse themselves of all defilements of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:1. The hands are to be clean, the heart pure, and the life holy. James talks of wickedness, that is, as the margin implies, malice. It is the word of which used in malice in other places, like Ephesians 4:31 and Colossians 3:8. Malice is a soul-consuming thing. Malice in the heart is wrong. Therefore, any manifestation of it is wrong. In any overflowing of it is exceedingly wrong. Lay aside these, but the implanted word which is able to save your souls must be received, and it must be received with meekness. Meekness must be emphasized. All the teachings of God must be received with meekness, not some of the teachings of God in a partisan spirit and in religious theory. Much has been said in the Bible on the meekness. The Word of God is the spiritual seed of His spiritual kingdom and must be implanted in the heart in order to produce spiritual fruit, not only in order to make Christians, but to produce spiritual, righteous, and holy life. It is the only seed, as seen from the parable of the sower, which can do this. Under the figure of a birth, the Word of God is the spiritual seed by which he begets children. It is the spiritual milk upon which babes in Christ can feed, and it is the solid food for full-grown men. The only way to be saved is to receive it with meekness. Only in simple faith, humility, and implicit obedience to it can the Word of God be received. The devil knows the Word of God and can quote it freely and aptly use it to serve his purpose and transform himself into an angel of light, but he has never received it, and he never will. Then, to be familiar with the Word of God is not enough. It must be implanted in the heart, as good seed is in the ground. The seed must have the warmth of the sun, the genial showers, the properties of soil, in order to germinate, grow, and bear fruit. So the Word of God must have all the warm affection of the heart. It must endue the soul with the very Spirit of Jesus, and it must be incorporated within the inner man before it can save the soul. And so we're going to read over those last texts again. You know this, my beloved brethren, that every man, here it is, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls.